We turn to the Holy Scriptures, to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we will read the first 13 verses, after which we turn to our Heidelberg Catechism and read Lord's Day 45. We continue then with the subject of prayer, which you began some weeks ago. And Luke 11, the first 13 verses, is our scripture reading. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Thus far the reading of Holy Scripture. We turn now to our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45. Question and answer 118 and 119. What hath God commanded us to ask of him? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer he himself has taught us. What are the words of that prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Sinners need much help in prayer. Yeah, if they would truly pray, they need much help, the help of God. And that's where our catechism wants to bring us. And so this morning, too, then we want to look at directions for true prayer. We looked at several directions given us last Lord's Day, but we wish to look at further directions that are given to us by our catechism this Lord's Day. And so again, our theme is directions for true prayer, and we will see 2 points. First of all, subjects for prayer, and secondly, the school of prayer. Subjects for prayer and the school of prayer. First then, subjects for prayer. What may we ask of God. May we only go to the Lord with certain needs. And are there other needs that we may not bring to the Lord? So that when children ask, Mommy, can we pray for this? Must mother then say, actually, child, that is something too small to pray about. Or that is something too big to bring to the Lord. So a mother should not say that. What may we ask of the Lord? Our catechism says, all things necessary for soul and body. So our catechism speaks of two basic needs. The needs of the soul and the needs of the body. Now let's begin by looking first at the needs of the body. What are the needs of the body that we may bring to the Lord? Well, let me mention several. First of all, sustenance. Sustenance. For we need food and drink. That's what the people of Israel needed when they were traveling through the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land. Though they needed water. And Israel felt that need also quite early in their wilderness journeys. Well, they could bring their need for water to the Lord. And Israel also needed food. And they could bring that need to the Lord too. Of course, they did not need to bring it to the Lord in murmuring and in grumbling as they did so often. No, let that murmuring and grumbling be set aside. Simply bring the need to the Lord. And that's what they could do. And that's what we can do. Needing food, needing drink, we can bring our need to the Lord. Someone says, but what about if your cupboards are full? And what if your fridges are full? And what if there is no shortage of water? Do we still then need to bring our need for sustenance to the Lord? Yes, for though our cupboards may be full and our fridges may be full and there may not be any want of water, that can change any minute, can't it? The Lord can make things spoil too. And don't we need the Lord to bless the food? For if He does not bless the food, if He does not bless the drink, then what? And so you understand why the Lord Jesus, when He was also in a wilderness, and He sees the people coming to Him, and He sees them needing food, then He is about to perform a miracle of multiplying the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and you know what is going to happen. You know how much food there is now going to be. There's going to be an overabundance, so much so that 12 baskets full will gather up the fragments. And you would say that if there was any time or any person who did not need to pray about food, who did not need to go to the Father, it was the Lord Jesus. But what did He do? He prayed. We need the Lord to give us our food and drink, and we need Him to bless it. Let that then be the first thing that we may include under our physical needs, sustenance. Let's go to a second one, the need of strength. Strength. For we need strength to do our daily tasks. In our home, mothers especially need strength. Or at the workplace, we need strength to do our work diligently. At school, children need strength to stay focused, to do their studies. Young people, they need strength to write their tests and do exams and write papers. And sometimes it can be, and maybe you feel that, and maybe you have felt it, that you feel so weak and you feel so tired, or maybe in your studies you can feel so distracted, and you wonder, how will I make it through the day? What should we do then? Well, let us ask the Lord for help and strength. When writing an exam, when doing chores, when facing challenges at work, let us seek help of God. Strength. And under this, you can also mention health. For what must we do in sickness? What must we do in old age? What must we do when our bodies are not well and they become frail and they become weak and they become sick? Must we not bring that to the Lord too? When we are sick, go and tell the Lord. When others are sick, go and bring them to the Lord. That's what those four friends did, remember, with that man who was paralyzed, the paralytic we know him as. He could not get to where he wanted to go. He could not get to where he needed to go. But he had friends. And the Lord Jesus had come to his region. And so these friends, believing that the Lord Jesus was able and willing to help, they brought him to the Lord Jesus. Let us bring sickness to the Lord. But then we go to a third thing. We've mentioned shelter. We've mentioned strength. We've mentioned sustenance. We've mentioned strength. And the third thing is shelter. Yes, we can bring that to the Lord. Why would we not ask the Lord for a place to live? Especially young people, when we are leaving our father's home and we're going to establish our own home. Where would the Lord have us live? Someone says, why would I pray for that? I just need to check with the bank to see if they will give me a mortgage and if they'll give me a loan and figure out what it will be. Precisely, is that a small thing? It's not at all. Do you want to go about seeking a home without the blessing of the Lord, without seeking the will of the Lord? Don't you want to know that the way that you were on is the way that the Lord would have you to be on? Does the Bible not warn against the opposite? I mean, lean not unto thine own understanding. That's what the nephew of Abraham did. Remember him, young Lot? When he had to pick where to live, he picked it well. He picked a place that within some time would be destroyed with fire and brimstone. Let us also ask the Lord for shelter. But I move to a fourth thing. I mentioned service. A service. What kind of work should I do? What kind of job should I pursue? How do I know what the Lord is calling me to? It's a question that young people should be thinking about, searching for a job. You know where you begin to search for a job? You begin on your knees, asking the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Not, what do I want to do first of all? What will the Lord have me to do? Is there a way in which I can be most useful to others and to the Lord's cause? You see, and then you need the Lord to direct you. You need Him to point you the way. Well, young people, why not seek it from the Lord? Or if you are unemployed, or might become unemployed, or if you are offered a job promotion, do we not do well to go on our knees and seek the direction from the Lord? Let me mention a sixth thing. A spouse. A spouse, yeah. Who am I to marry? That's an important question. Is that not something that we should ask the Lord for? That's the pattern that we are given from Abraham. Abraham seeking a wife for Isaac, then he sent a servant who was a praying servant and a man who sought the will of the Lord, who came there to that well and said, Lord, show me which woman thou hast chosen for my master Isaac. So, this servant of Abraham was a praying man, but also Isaac, who was to receive a spouse, he was a praying man, for he went into the field for that very purpose, looking to God for a helpmeet from him. You see, it's so important, young people, that you ask the Lord that He will guide you. You see only the outside of a person. And you can be so impressed. But the Lord knows what's on the inside. Ask Him for His blessing. Ask Him to lead you. Ask Him. Also in the selection of a spouse. But now, a question. If these are things that we may ask of the Lord, does the Lord always answer them? Does He always answer them in the way that we want? I mean, if we are in need of food and drink, and we lay our need before the Lord, does the Lord always give food and drink? No, not always. And then I think of the Old Testament, I think of Israel in the time of a drought, the time of 3.5 years drought under the reign of Ahab and Jezebel. Then we see Elijah, that man of God, being cared for by the Lord wonderfully. He went to that brook Cherith, there he received water, and there the ravens brought his bread and his meat. And later on, Elijah would be cared for by the at the house of the widow of Zarephath, where the barrel of meal would not go empty and the oil would not stop. There you see Elijah being provided for by the Lord. And it can be that the Lord sometimes provides wonderfully for food and drink in difficult times. But not always. For think of Israel during that 3.5 year drought. There may have been those who died. Famine has that result. Maybe even a child of God who had prayed for food but never received food died. No, the Lord does not always give what we need for our bodies. He does not always give the health that we desire. If we are sick, I think of Paul with that thorn in the flesh. And what that thorn was, I leave that aside, but that thorn was a burden to him. And he brought that to the Lord. He asked the Lord to remove it. He asked the Lord 3 times, but the Lord did not remove it. Or someone prays for a spouse, a God-fearing spouse, but ends up remaining single. The Lord does not always give what we ask for, even if we have a great need like food and drink. Someone says, well, why pray then? If God does not always give you what you ask for, why pray? Shall I tell you why? Because the Lord loves to meet with sinners on their knees. He loves to meet with sinners in the midst of their life, in the midst of their struggle. For that was the case for Paul, that there was this struggle with that thorn in the flesh. And then Paul hears from the Lord, no, Paul. How painful that must be. But that's not the only thing that he heard. He also heard, my grace is sufficient for thee. You see, and then a sickbed may remain a sickbed. But then that sickbed can be a blessed bed. For the Lord has said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Or, as the psalmist has said in Psalm 41, he says of the Lord, thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. The Lord promises to make the bed of his children, even in their sickbed. And then the sickbed can be a trying bed. But what can a child of God say then? He can say, the Lord was here. He came to make my bed comfortable. He came to give me contentment, even on this sickbed. He came to say, my grace is sufficient for thee. And that's enough. That's how I can go on again, agreeing with the will of the Lord. And if that means that my departure is at hand, and that means that I cannot eat the food and drink that I need, But to have His grace is to have all that I need in order to live and die happily. For I may have the Lord as my Lord, and then to die is gain. Well, then our catechism has mentioned then one basic need, the need of the body. But our catechism also mentions a second basic need, the need of the soul. And then this need of the soul is more important than the needs of our body, is it not? And is that maybe why our catechism puts the need of the soul first in this answer? For the catechism realizes that the day will come when we will leave behind our food and drink. The day will come when we will leave behind our homes, our jobs, our beds, our spouses, and we will have to meet God. Is there anything more important than the need of your soul? No. And that's why parents speak to your children about the need of their soul. Don't only speak to them about what job that may be good for them, but more important than a job is the need of their soul. What is your greatest need? It is the need of your soul. That's what the Lord Jesus said. I already referred to the paralytic who was brought by his four friends to the Lord Jesus. And there these friends came to bring their friend to the Lord Jesus, but you know what happened? They had to climb up on the roof and they had to make a hole in the roof because it was so crowded around the Lord Jesus. But then they finally let him down that roof, and there the man was laying. Did you see him? On that bed. Unable to move. His need is clear, isn't it? He's paralyzed. What will the Lord Jesus say? He says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Maybe someone says, "That's disappointing." They bring him because he is paralyzed to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus addresses his sins. Why does he address his sins? And why first? And why not the other way around? Why not first heal him and then speak to him of his sin? Because the need of his soul is his greatest need. And that's what this man surely will have come to see to, that this is indeed his great need. For you see, the day would come when, yes, the Lord Jesus would heal him of his paralysis, and he may have been healthy for many years yet, but the day would come when he would become sick again. And he would become frail. And the day of his death would come. And then it's most important, when meeting God, is that I am right with God, that I am reconciled to God, that I am forgiven of all my sins. That's the greatest need. And is that not also what David prayed for in Psalm 25? And there we meet a man who is persecuted, who is in pain. He's persecuted maybe by his son Absalom. He's in pain. And then he prays. We hear him say in verse 18 of Psalm 25, "Look upon mine affliction and my pain." But he doesn't stop there. "And forgive all my sins." Dear congregation, as the Lord opened your eyes to this great need, to your spiritual needs, is that what you have also learned to bring to Him? Because you not only need food, you need other things for your soul. Have you become troubled by your sin? Have you become troubled by the day of judgment? Have you come to see that that burden of sin needs to be removed? Have your eyes been opened to it by the Holy Spirit? Well, what shall you do then? Well, bring it to the Lord. A But the need for pardon. Let that be then the first need. If he, just like the publican who went to the temple to pray, that was the trouble of his heart. That burden of sin, that's why he cried out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let that be something that is brought to the Lord. The need of pardon. Maybe for someone else, their spiritual need is the desire for purity. Purity. Well, seek it then with the Lord, as Paul sought it with the Lord, or as McShane sought it with the Lord when he prayed, make me as holy as it is possible to be on this side of eternity. Is that not something that God's people struggle with? That holiness, how little holiness they find in themselves, how little they are like the Lord Jesus. They don't look after the image of Christ as they would. Seek it with the Lord. Do you desire communion? Maybe there is a child of God who here has to say, it's been some time since the Lord has met me. And you go about as the psalmist, as the heart about to falter in its trembling agony. So my soul doth pant for God. I pant for the living water of God. Do you miss the Lord? Do you say, where is he whom my soul has come to love? Oh, bring it to the Lord. Is that not what the bride does in the Song of Solomon? She feels separated from her Lord. She misses her bridegroom. She finds herself unable to come to him. Yet she desires to come to him. That she says, draw me. We will run after thee. What is your spiritual need? Is it conversion? Seek it with the Lord. Is it the Holy Spirit? Seek it with the Lord. Whom do you need? Is it the Lord? Then ask him. Is it faith that you need? Because it is faith that joins a sinner to the Lord. Then ask him for faith. What is your need? Is there someone here who says, Pastor, if I'm honest, I really don't have a need. Because the things of time and sense mean much more to me. The things of my job, the things of entertainment, the things of this world, that's what matters most. My friend, then that shows quite clearly that you are under God's wrath. And you see, well, you don't see your need. Ask him for eyes to see your need. Go to him for a need. Seek it with him. Someone says, now, if these are things that we may ask of the Lord, does he always give us what we need? I asked it before, if we ask of the Lord food and drink because we are without sustenance, does the Lord always give food and drink? And then I said, no. For his way is higher than our way. And if we are sick, the Lord does not always grant healing. But now with the needs of the soul. If we need conversion, and we earnestly seek it with the Lord, will he give conversion? Yes. That's what he has said. That's why the Lord Jesus is exalted in the right hand of the Father, in order to give repentance and remission of sins. Or to say it in the words of the Old Testament, that he has never said to the house of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. That it's as if it's vain to come and pray to him. In fact, he has said, ask, and it shall. He doesn't say, and perhaps I may give you. It shall be given unto you. Oh, of course, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear. That's also in the Scriptures. If I pray for a new heart, but deep down I don't really want a new heart, I don't really want a change of life, I want to keep going on in my sins, then the Lord will not hear me. But if the Lord has made me willing and desirous of a new heart, pardon of sins,
And when we seek it with the Lord, He is willing to give it. Always?
Yes. Always. And maybe someone says, I have not found that.
I mean, maybe someone is here who says, I desire to be reconciled to God, to be forgiven of my sins, and I've been earnestly seeking it of the Lord, and all that's happened is that I've become more and more troubled by my sins. The burden on my back has gotten only bigger.
That may be. You know what the Lord is doing. He is beginning to answer your prayer.
As someone says, but I'm asking for Him to forgive my sins, and it's only gotten bigger. He's answering my prayer. Yes! Why do I feel my sins the more, you say? Because that's what He wants you to feel. He wants you to feel your sins. He wants you to see how hopeless it is from your side, so that you would be driven out to Him, to the Lord Jesus alone for pardon, and rest alone on Him.
Someone says, I may believe that the Lord has given me pardon for sins. I am praying now also for my sin to be subdued. And I may believe that this is what I'm praying for because that's what He has put in my heart. This is what I desire, to be more and more like Him. And what's happened? It seems like the Lord has not been answering my prayer. Why not? Well, I feel my sins even more. I find my heart to be a fountain of foul transgression. My heart seems worse than it ever has seemed.
You know what the Lord is doing? He's answering your prayer. You say, but I don't understand that. No, I know. But that's what the Lord does. That is His way. He answers your prayer so that you seek your every need in Him, that you would see that you can never do without Him. In the words of John Newton, these inward trials I employ from self and sin to set thee free and cross thy schemes of earthly joy, that thou mayest find thy all in me. That's the goal that He has, that you would find your all in Him. Let that then be also the goal of prayer. As someone says, I think I have a bigger problem. What is that? I don't even know how to pray. Well, let that bring us to our second point, to the school of prayer. To the school of prayer, that the Lord would teach us. That was the desire of the disciples. We read it together from Luke chapter 11. They found the Lord Jesus in a certain place praying. It was not the first time that they had found Him praying. But this time they are not content simply to watch Him pray. They also want to learn how to pray. For you see, when they see Him praying, they find that He is enjoying such intimate communion with His Father. And they know so little of that intimate and sweet communion. And that's what these disciples are convinced of. Yet they all felt it. They all felt the need for instruction. And so it seems that they agreed among each other that one of them would ask when he was finished praying. And one of the disciples then did. Quite a simple but an earnest request. Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. Who it was that made this request is not told us, but it makes me think that it had been one of the disciples of John at one time, John the Baptist. But now, someone says, well, he's been a disciple of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist has taught him to pray. Yes, But why does he then ask the Lord Jesus to teach him to pray? Had John not been his teacher? And had they not learned to pray from their parents? Most likely these men had Jewish parents and a Jewish upbringing, and their parents had taught them to pray. They had taught them to bend their knees also when they went to bed at night. Yes. And on top of that, they had been to the synagogue. And they had heard their rabbis praying. Are these men then so ignorant that even in spite of their upbringing and their synagogue going and their following of John the Baptist, that they must still say of themselves, we don't know how to pray? Yeah. That's how we meet with them here. Do you understand these disciples? Really, it tells us that there are two types of people. Yeah, two types of people. There are those for whom prayer is difficult. That's the one type of person. And there are those for whom prayer is not difficult. Which one is the Christian? The Christian is one who finds prayer difficult. That's what Paul says. Romans 8, verse 26. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. No, and when Paul is saying this, he's not excusing it. He's not giving a license for God's people to say, see, you don't know how to pray, then don't pray. Paul is not excusing it. He's not justifying it. But that's how it is for the children of God. Why? Do you see what sin has done? Sin means that the sinner does not know how to pray. And what is so difficult, you say? Maybe I can say it in two things. What is so difficult about prayer is, for one thing, that you don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. What do you say? You never had that, that you go on your knees. Now, what do I say? Well, I bow before the Lord in heaven. And what do I say after that? Well, sometimes I know for the children of God and for the needy sinner, it flows, it's true. But other times you just stammer. That's the one difficulty, what to say. The second difficulty is you don't know how to pray. Your mind wanders. There you have called upon the name of the Lord. You've called upon His holy name, and then your mind has gone and drifted so quickly to the things of the world. Or sometimes you can be so tired in prayer. Maybe you were not tired before you bent your knees, but all of a sudden when you bow your knees, all of a sudden you're tired. Sad, isn't it? It's sad. You figure out when you discover that you can't pray. And when you realize that the Lord is willing to give His grace, He's willing to give His Holy Spirit. He's ready to help in time of need. But you don't know how to pray. You don't even know how to make your request to the Lord. What do you do then? Well, then you can go to an earthly father and you can say, Dad, please teach me to pray. And then a dad may say, but I've taught you everything that I know. And your father can be a child of God. And your dad, teach me to truly pray. And he will have to admit, I can't do that. But the need remains. How do I pray? I can't pray. Do you see what you can do? You can tell the Lord Jesus. You can go to Him. You can ask Him. Also here. At this moment, and also later, Lord, teach me to pray. And then what? Well, then you've come to the right address. For the Lord Jesus is willing to take you into the school of prayer. He is willing to teach you. And He takes you into the school, and what do you find? What does the Lord Jesus show in the school of prayer? What does he do in the school of prayer? Let me say it with two things. For one thing, he shows sympathy. Sympathy. Yes, he understands the struggle of prayer. Yes, he does. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. Hebrews 4, verse 15 says that. He knows the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord Jesus also knows what it is to struggle in prayer. And sometimes that can be something that you say, but how can he know? Well, he knows. Shall I give an illustration? Then I do it from the book of John, chapter 12. Where the Lord Jesus, in the verses 20 and following, he sees the hour of his suffering and his death approaching. And he speaks of it also to his disciples in the picture of the grain of wheat that has to fall into the ground and die. And that's the way that he has to go. The way of the grain of wheat is the way I have to go. For if I don't go that way, the Lord Jesus knows, then there will be no salvation for those given to him by the Father. What happened? When he sees that the hour of his suffering and death is coming near, his soul is cast into turmoil. That's what he says in verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. And then he says, and what shall I say? He doesn't know what to say. He knows that the hour of his suffering, the bloody sweat in the garden, the agony on the cross, that's before him. And that's the way he has to go. But now he feels that it is a dark way. And it's a bitter way. So his soul is troubled. And he does not know what to say in prayer. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Do you see the struggle in his heart? He's asking his Father, is there yet a way out of this suffering? Father, save me from this hour, he says. He feels that struggle. We know not how to pray as we ought. But then he says, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Do you see the struggle he has? And now what does he do when he takes you into the school of prayer? He shows you that he is the sympathizing high priest. He doesn't say to the poor sinner who struggles in prayer, who stammers, and he doesn't say, no, this is something I don't know anything about. He doesn't rebuke and say, now smarten up. He doesn't distance himself from his needy people and stand far away and stand aloof. No, he comes low. And he has compassion on his needy people, also in their struggle in prayer. Does that not give encouragement for you to keep going in your struggles to the Lord? Is that not an invitation to bring the needs to him? Well, I said that he gives two things. He gives, first of all, sympathy. And secondly, he gives the Spirit. The Spirit. For that's what the sinner is needing. The sinner struggles in prayer. He does not know how to pray. His heart is cold. What can he say? Well, Lord, help me, he can say. And what does the Lord do? The Lord sends help. That's what Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. He helpeth with those infirmities in prayer. And now when Paul uses that word help, in that verse he uses a very special word. Literally, it's the word to help carry. To help carry the burden. Maybe an illustration will help. Imagine a father doing some renovations on his house. He has some pieces of wood that he needs. And now he has a son who is watching his father. And the son wants to be a big helper for his father. And when then the time comes to move a piece of wood, the son, he tries to lift the piece of wood, but it becomes clear that he can't. What does the father do? Does the father scorn his son? Does he mock his son? No. The father does something else. With his strong arms, he picks up the piece of wood with the son still holding on. And so they carry the piece of wood. Who's doing the work? The father is. Maybe the father says to his son, "Well done, son. We can carry this together." The father helps with the burden that the son has. Now that's what the Spirit is willing to do. He helps carry the burden. And then you see that God's people find this too. Prayer is at times a burden. A needed burden, but a burden. And it shows you that you can't pray alone. But you don't need to pray alone. The Father is willing to give His Holy Spirit. And that's what the Lord Jesus says to His disciples. Also in the passage that we read together, He is willing to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. You see what kind of school this school of prayer is? It's not the kind of school where you're left to yourself, where a student has to do it all yourself and the teacher says, "You figure it out." No, the Lord Jesus comes near to the sinner. He comes near to the sinner on his knees. He comes low. He says, "I know your struggles, and I will help carry the burden." You see there, therefore, that there is a blessed people. There is a blessed people who have a Father in heaven who will hear them. They can lay open their hearts before Him. They can bear it all. And they have a Spirit who is willing to help them. They have a Savior who is willing to teach them, though they are slow learners. You know what sometimes happens? The lives of God's people? They leave the classroom. They leave their place empty in the school of prayer. And then someone else becomes so busy. Then Satan is so busy to break that bond that exists between them and the Lord Jesus. And will Satan succeed, you ask? Well, sometimes it looks like it. But he cannot succeed. Why not? Because the Lord Jesus carries His people on His heart. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. And then even if Satan desires to have you, to sift you, and perhaps there's someone here on the sieve of Satan right now, he's throwing you back and forth, then the Lord Jesus said, "I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." There is a people who have a gracious God. And you who miss this, are you not jealous of such a people? Are you not jealous of a people who have the Father to turn to? Who have a Spirit to help them in the darkest times? And who have a Lord Jesus to teach them? And you miss this. Why not go to Him? Why not ask Him, "Lord, Thou art teaching others, teach me too. With all my troubles, with all the hardness of my heart, Lord, teach me. Bow down Thine ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor, and great my need. For Thou, O Lord, art good and kind, and ready to forgive Thou art. Abundant mercy they shall find, who call on Thee with all their heart. Lord, give me then such a heart who call on Thee with all their heart. Amen.